One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports Pylon Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, no, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, so I have an unusual combination that I bring to the dance. But guess what? I don't buy the pay-per-views per se. You do. You're the average boxing fan. So I open up the toll-free at the top of each hour. If you want one part, if you want to drop something in, you can. Here is the toll-free phone number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. I don't bite if you call, so straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. As I said, we'll get into the Charlo Canelo fight. And of course, Terrence Crawford as well. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer will be here. Tommy D will be here at the end of the show. We've got all kinds of stuff planned. And tomorrow, the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live World, I want to pump that up right now. It'll feature Larry Merchant, Ernie Shavers, Brent Carter. We'll have a great time tomorrow, straight up. And, of course, Tommy D as well. Straight up, that is the Sunday edition. I'm pumping that 24 hours in advance. But this show, we're going to rock and roll. We'll bring in Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. We'll hear, we'll talk about the last great white hope in depth. I'm talking about Tommy the Duke Morrison. Of course, Terrence Crawford says he'll fight at 168 pounds against Canelo. Why? Because Canelo's a Mexican. He's done. Stick a fork in him. He's done. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something.
Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside.
Upside? What's that?
It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank.
Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached?
Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's code GAS11. Use code GAS11 for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Funk on down to Mare Island Dock of the Bay Festival in Vallejo with Morris Day and the Time, Confunction, Average White Band, and Cold Blood with Lydia Pence September 9th. Doors open up at 12:30. Parking is free and ferry service is available directly from San Francisco to the island. Buy your tickets at ftpresents.com. That's ftpresents.com.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Sliding back in with the mighty Tower of Power. Of course, you can check them out at towerofpower.com. They do supply most of the music on the show and half of the better part of the last quarter century. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Need I remind you, of course, we will go to the East Coast and bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, in just a second. But I want to mention, you know, I was thinking about Jose Suleiman last night because there was a couple of things. A couple of guys had some issues in boxing, and he would be the guy that I would call when things like this went down. There was, when guys were in distress or guys were hurting this and that, I would call Jose on the phone. Well, there's no Jose to call anymore, and it's been almost 10 years. It'll be, God, he died January 16, 2014. I can't believe it's been 9 years already, almost 10 years, but straight up, I really miss the retire. I really miss him. I really do. I miss Jose Suleiman immensely. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Promoter Eddie Hearn, of course, coming to us from across the pond. The guy that's lost like a couple of billion dollars. That's right. He lost like over $1 billion on DAZN, but yet he's working. He says that Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder is going to go in Saudi Arabia. Now, I'm against any fights happening in Saudi Arabia. First of all, I'm down on them because they killed the press guy, Khawaji. Remember, Jamal Khawaji? They chopped him into little pieces because he wrote stuff that was against the government, against the prince, this and that. The prince should be shot. Straight up, he's a violent man. He's a terrible man. That's an awful regime over there. Anyway, I'm not big into the Saudi Arabians, but they're trying to buy their way back into everything, into sports and the politics, donating money here. I mean, they're paying purses that can't be matched by anybody else in the world. So basically, I guess you're going to go there if you're looking for the biggest buck. But the bottom line is, I'm not a big fan of the Saudi Arabians. I never have been. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, from the West Coast to the East Coast, let's bring in Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How are you?
I'm excellent. What's on your mind? What's going on in the mind of Boxing's PhD?
My mind is still buzzing off of Emmanuel Navarrete's performance last week. What a dominant win against a really game former world champion in Valdez, who gave probably a great effort, but that's how great Navarrete was. Valdez's best was really a distant second. I mean, Navarrete was a slight underdog, and he gave Valdez a beating.
Well, I'm going to go to the point. Listen, I remember what Bruce the Mouse Strauss told me. and he was like an opponent. He would go all over the country, all around the world. He had like 200 fights or something. He never really got punchy. The reason why, he told me, anytime the fight got uncompetitive, I found a way out, okay? That fight between Valdez and Navarrete wasn't competitive, and after seven rounds, I mean, why not stop the fight after seven rounds? What did we accomplish by allowing him to go another 15 minutes of getting beat on? I'm talking about Oscar Valdez. Talk to me.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that go on. Number one, they built the promotion to the fight as this Mexican war, right? And the one thing about Mexican fighters, they bring it. And quitting is not, you know, pretty high in the list, right? So that's number one. Number two, Valdez was trying, you know, and I know that it's better these days to err on the side of caution, but it wasn't like Valdez was ever like, taking any step backward. He was trying.
I broke a couple orbital bones in my time, so I know what they look like when you break somebody's bones in their face, okay? He looked like he had broken bones in his face. I mean, that should have been stopped. There's just no doubt about it. There's nothing. I know it's a macho, mano-y-mano type of thing, Mexican versus Mexican, but the bottom line is that fight was over. After seven rounds, they should have stopped it. He took some punishment down the stretch. I think that may be irreversible down as far as longevity is concerned, and I just don't think it was a smart move. As far as the promoters are concerned, they're loving it. I mean, they're watching this on TV. That's probably good TV. People are tuning in the ninth, tenth round. Oh, look at that guy's face. Oh, look at that guy's face. Those are the squares. But those of us that know boxing, I say to myself, you know, that's not good for the kid.
It's not. I mean, Oscar Valdez would probably never be the same again if he chooses to keep fighting. But
he looked like a cartoon afterwards.
Right. And the announcers and even the ringside reporter had asked, would a rematch be something that Navarrete would be interested in? So you kind of saw the gears in motion. You know, they had Barrera and Morales ringside. This obviously was not on the same level. It was a one-sided competitive fight, if there's such a thing, because Valdez was trying.
And I get that, but when you're injured like that, the bottom line is, hey man, we come in and we stop this fight. In other words, the corner should be arrested for impersonating cornermen. They're supposed to be protecting his ass. They weren't trying to help him at all. Okay, the referee, I don't know what he was thinking. The doctor, the ringside doctor, what was he thinking, man? They let that guy out. He couldn't see.
Now, that's a good point. I didn't see an active corner looking to save Valdez from himself, right? Eddie Reynoso, it's not his first time in the rodeo. He knows his fighter inside and out. He's supposed to be able to say, you know what, let's live to fight another day. You're losing to a better man tonight. And obviously, Valdez is not the type of guy like Diego Corrales that could knock you out, you know, with one punch. He hit Valdez flush, and it was like a mosquito. I mean, he hit Navarrete flush, and it was like a mosquito. He buzzed it off. He knew that his man was a beaten guy. And even then, some people at press row, I even saw someone had a scorecard of 115-113, which I was like,
whoa.
I don't understand. And from a respectable person, I don't want to put him on blast.
Time out. Was he related to Valdez?
I don't think Steve Kim is related to Oscar Valdez.
Steve Kim had it by 2 points?
Yes, he did. He did. And his homeboy, Mario Lopez, was giving him some grief afterwards.
I can imagine. Well, every once in a while, everybody calls a bad fight. You know, they have a bad fight. Speaking of bad fights, yesterday was the birthday of Tony Weeks, the referee, of course. And you're only as good as your last fight. And don't you think he should have been arrested for what he did against Raleigh Romero and that guy?
I think that's something he's going to have to live with for a while. The same way, like, Richard Steele had to wear that, you know, a couple of bad decisions.
Time out a second. Let's talk Richard Steele. The first fight, of course, okay. March of 1990, him stopping the Julio Cesar Chavez, Melvin Taylor fight. I was there. Meltzer Taylor wasn't looking at the referee. He was looking at his corner, which was Lou Duva standing up on the ring apron, the Fred Flintstone of boxing, standing on the ring apron, making all kinds of commotion. So Meltzer was looking at him and not the referee. That's the reason why that fight was stopped. Referee Richard Steele stopped that fight. When he stopped the Tyson-Ruddick fight, I thought the mechanics were bad, but the timing was okay. Talk to me.
I think Richard Steele got a lot of heat, unnecessary. Like you said, and the documentary HBO did, they were a little bit more fair that Lou Duva standing on the ring apron and would cause some sort of distraction to his fighter.
Yep.
So that played a huge part, I believe. Now, if you look at, if you took a still picture between the two fighters, Meldrick Taylor looked like he was in a car accident. I mean, somebody was hitting. I mean, yes, Meldrick was up, but he was also taking punishment from like.
No. I was there. I was me and Evander Holyfield. I remember both of us talking about that fight later that night. We were at a Delphonics concert, and that was like that was like a beating with a club.
It was. I mean, all night. I mean, you know, you saw Meldrick the flashier shots, but somebody did something to Meldrick's face right that night. You know, so. I definitely thought Richard Steele definitely got more heat than he should have. The Tyson-Ruddick stoppage was a little questionable as well. Probably worse, but like you said, it was more mechanics. And then in the rematch, it wasn't much of a difference. Ruddick was scared to engage with Mike, so I thought it was kind of a moot point anyway. He would have lost either way.
Donovan Razor Ruddick, I'm going to talk about him in depth at 40 minutes past hour when I go into a special on Tommy the Duke Morrison, of course, the last great white hope. Hey, I'll ask you a question. Before we go to a break, how come Vladimir Klitschko wasn't considered a white hope or a white? How come is Russian not white or something? I mean, what's up with that? You have to be American white or English white. What's up with that?
Well, that's definitely a moniker. That's an American moniker. Going back to when I was a kid, gentlemen, you know, Jerry Cooney was the white hope. You nailed it. He's not Vladimir Klitschko was an American, or is an American rather, and he also fought like at 2:00 p.m. on a Saturday on HBO. I mean, who's really watching that? You know, he fought in a boring style. Tommy Morrison was kind of like that last guy that you thought could do something, and Tommy had a solid career. You know, obviously could have been better, but he was his own worst enemy.
We'll talk about that in depth at 40 minutes past hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. The Charlo brothers. There's Jamel and there's Jamal. Jamel's supposed to be the better of the two. Oh, no, Jamal is. Which one is the better of the two? We'll find out from Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, on the other side of the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC-TV.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, you're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A+ BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself?
Larry Merchant trying to corner the Macho Man, Hector Camacho. Of course, that was June of 1985. I believe he was fighting Jose Luis Ramirez at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. I was there. First row. It was a great fight, no doubt. But I take that back. It was a one-sided route for the Harlem Heckler, without a doubt. I'm talking about the late Hector Camacho. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, September 30th, the Pound for Pound King, or the guy that used to be the Pound for Pound King, I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez, is taking on Jermell, not Jermall, Jermell Charlo. Jermell Charlo is 154-pound Charlo, not the 160-pound Charlo. He's lost one fight in the past, I think, to Tony Thornton, but he reversed that and he beat Thornton in a rematch. He is, I'm going to ask Socrates Palmer to put it right on the line. Is Charlo a dog or a live dog?
I think Jermell Charlo is a live dog, and I think you count him out at your own risk. I think Jermell Charlo is a good fighter. I think he's going to present something to Canelo that he hasn't seen in a while. He's going to present some speed. Canelo, even when he was dominated by Bivol, it was the reach, you know, and I don't think necessarily it was like a blazing hand speed. I think it was just the guy was just too big, and Canelo's just, he just looked like a chubby Mexican. He looked like
if Daniela could put that picture up of one more time of Canelo and Charlo right now on WBC TV, I want you to look at that picture. Holy cow. I mean, he looks like he's like 190 pounds. He's fat, at least 190 pounds. So what I'm trying to tell you is that look at the gut there. I mean, he's holding it in. Bottom line is he's got breasts. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez. This guy used to be the pound for pound king. He's gotten soft.
Well, he's made a lot of money. Also, he wore a big shirt, if you notice. He had a big silk shirt in the press conference. And listen, if you ever want to hide a gut, a nice silk shirt that's kind of loose fitting.
All my fat friends dress like that, and you know who you are. They do.
Yeah.
I don't want to name names, but they do. They know who they are. They're going, oh, please don't bring me up, please.
Now, I'm sure that was that shirt was not bought off the rack. That was, you know, a really expensive shirt. But I did question that. You know, normally when a guy's in shape, you know, they know it. And they know how to dress, right? And Canelo's a celebrity. He's not just a regular fighter. However, he's got plenty of time to get in shape. And I think he'll be in the best shape he's been probably since the Caleb Plant fight.
Okay, however, is going to come back and haunt you maybe, okay? When you take off, he wasn't taking off this kind of weight before in camp. When you take off this kind of weight, when your entire camp is all about losing weight, you end up like Roberto Duran in the Thomas Hearns fight or the second Ray Leonard fight. In other words, you've got nothing in the tank. You know what I'm saying? He's coming down. He's got to be coming down from 190, if not 200 pounds. I'm telling you, I'm looking at this guy. Stick a fork in him. He looks like a fat tamale.
I I don't think he hit 200, but he's definitely above 180. You can tell. You can always tell in his face. But
bro, if he fights at 168, you're trying to tell me he walks around at 180? He steps in the ring at close to 180, 100 pounds if he weighs 168 on the scale.
That's a good point. The Ryder fight, you know, he didn't look as spelt as we normally are used to seeing him.
But it was a deal on pay-per-view, $54.99. I think I won $100 for this one.
For the Charlo fight?
Yeah, close to $100.
I'm pretty sure. Whatever they ask for the Crawford-Spence fight, it'll be somewhere in that neighborhood. But I do expect a really good fight. I expect a really good Canelo as well. I think Canelo's got a lot of pride. I think that he's going to be in the best shape he's been since the Caleb Plant fight. With that said, though, Jermell Charlo's bravery might get him beat. You know, he fights a little bit more braver than his brother. He's got knockout power. He believes in his knockout power. He's got a good mind in camp. He's working with Joan Guzman, who was a very slick fighter, and I think, you know, that's going to be a factor. I think.
Hey, talk about Guzman. Has there ever been a guy with more talent didn't go anywhere? I mean, good Lord, he was like. No Viagra at a night for a 90-year-old man.
He was an exciting guy when he was in shape. You know, he rice and beans was his downfall. You know, he missed weight. You know,
What's funny is that I eat rice and beans 5 or 6 days a week, so I take offense at that.
So do I.
Some of us do. Hey, when I was poor, I'm not trying to say I'm not poor. When I was poor, I ate rice and beans. When I lived in Oakland, I ate rice and beans. Me and the dog had rice and beans the whole night. She had dog food, but I had rice and beans. This and that. Now I've got a couple of bucks. You know, I still eat rice and beans.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with rice and beans, brother. We're Latino.
The nine basic amino acids make a whole protein there.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hold on. Charlo and Canelo, tickets are going for $3,500 on top end, $305 on the low end. Isn't that sort of low for a Canelo fight?
Maybe they learned something from Crawford Spence, you know, because there was a lot of giveaway tickets towards the end. So, listen, I think it's going to be a really good fight. I think the Mexican fan base obviously is going to get behind this.
I'm pulling for Charlo.
Okay.
I'm pulling for Charlo. I'm not trying to say it. I'm pulling. Listen, I want to see the young man win. I think his brother's a bit of a dupe, but I like the 154-pound Charlo because I think that when he lost to Tony Thornton, what did he do? He went right back and fought Thornton right away.
Right. Harrison.
Harrison. Harrison. Yep.
It's okay. It was a close decision, and he came back. He was losing the fight, and he stopped Harrison. Yeah. And the same thing with Castaño. Castaño and him, first fight.
Whoa.
Great fight. It was a draw. Came back in the rematch. Excellent fight. And he stopped Castaño, I think, in round 10.
Okay.
So Jermell Charlo brings his cojones to the fight. And it's going to be a real good one.
Okay, let's spend some time on Terrence Crawford. Of course, a kid from Omaha, Nebraska. He's selling, I think he's got a butcher shop. Is he selling buds, too? I mean, buds. I mean, is he in the weed business, too?
I don't know, but it's something that, at least from a marketing standpoint, when he retires, it's only a natural fit, you know.
Time out. But Earl Spence, I think, smoked a little bit too much weed. Earl, I don't want to say Earl looked as bad as Muhammad Ali against Larry Holmes, but there was some similarities. No reflexes.
The reflexes looked like they were a thing of the past. Is there such thing as someone getting old overnight? Yeah, I think so in boxing. Now, the people that are the aerosexuals, like I like to call them, the Spenceites, they're reaching at straws saying that the weight has something to do with it. It seems like it's inevitable that they will have a rematch at 54.
Oh, man. Listen,
I can't see
the Madison State Athletic Commission, they sanctioned Muhammad Ali against Larry Holmes back in 1980 after they Ali couldn't pass the physical in Nevada, or they didn't want to have the responsibility of having the physical in Nevada with their doctor. So they sent him to the Mayo Clinic, and they asked him to close his eyes and to touch and put his arms outside and touch his nose. He couldn't do it in 10 tries, yet they gave him a boxing license. I think it was the same thing with Errol Spence.
That was criminal. You know, I don't think, I mean, it's still too early to tell the residual effects that the beating he took. You know, I mean, he's still a young man, maybe in 5 or 6 years, you know, if he's slurring his words, that's something that people are going to have to take a look at.
Try 5 or 6 months. I think that Errol Spence is on the fast track to CT. I've watched a lot of guys over the years, and I know this doesn't sound good, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but I'm telling you, I see the early signs of CTE already. I've seen this in other guys, and people say, oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. I've been watching guys in boxing now for like 40 years, better than 40 years.
Listen, and you're not the only person that said that. You know, there was a doctor online on one of the podcasts. He said that looking at that glazed look that Errol Spence had, you know, people kind of parlayed it to him being high. I mean, obviously, I don't think he smoked the blunt before the fight, but he had that glassy eye look, you know. And I think that someone that loves him needs to take a look at him and say, look, you had a great career. You made a lot of money. I think it's time to just enjoy your family. My opinion.
Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Now, here is a $64,000 question for you. How does Eddie Hearn lose $1 billion and stay have a job?
Well, he runs the company. He's got good investors. It's a good question. I mean, the Zone, it started off hot. It's a great idea, and it has...
It's a ripoff.
Yeah. Kind of like it's kind of funny, like the way Anthony Joshua's career, right? It started off hot. And it's kind of fizzled off lately. So, you know, it's crap. I mean, I don't know how someone could actually look at themselves like in their, you know, their statement every month.
Okay.
They got to feel ripped off.
Real quick, I got about a minute left. Zeal Zhang and Joe Joyce, the rematch. It's a rematch, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a rematch. Okay. That was. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Zhang's so me and Tommy D are going to talk about it tomorrow. What's your view on that?
Zhang is at the doorsteps of a world title shot. If he's able to beat Joe Joyce again, I think he's right there. Joe Joyce, people say he got exposed. I think he had an off night. I think it's a good fight, but I got to pick Zhang again. Zhang is fighting a lot of confidence right now.
Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Sock, have a great day. I got to say one thing about the Chinese fighter, though. He's motivated and, you know, pulling off that first win. I don't think he'll be denied the second time around. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy the Duke Morris, an in-depth after the break.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-345-2789. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-345-2789. That's 800-345-2789. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-345-2789.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How do you get psyched up for a fight?
Well, you know, isolation is big for me, you know. Getting away from my family, my friends, close friends, etc. Putting myself in jail is the way that I call it.
Yeah?
And I'm looking forward to getting out of there, really.
No
vacation.
No friends, no family,
no, nothing. And it worked very, very reasonable for me. Some fighters are different. They have to have a lot of people around them and a lot of action going on. Myself, I basically just want to concentrate just on my opponent and get my conditioning together.
Anyway, it's always great to have you on the show.
My pleasure.
Two marvelous guys, Marvelous Marvin Hagler and the late Johnny Carson, of course, Mr. Tonight Show, no doubt about that. Johnny used to have them all on the show. Of course, Ali was on there several times, George Foreman, you name it. They spent their time, if they were big time, they were on the Johnny Carson Show. Now, we go back to July of 1988. I am in Concord, California. I'm sitting at the Concord Pavilion. Of course, it was the only arena in my entire life that went undefeated, and I won two titles in that place, two titles and a couple other non-title fights. But the bottom line is I won the 83 and 84 Golden Glove Championships in the Concord Pavilion. So in 88, we have the Olympic trials. The finals take place in the Concord Pavilion. Now, Tommy the Duke Morrison fights Ray Mercer. He loses a 5-0 decision, but I say to myself, you know, both these guys, they can rock. I mean, Mercer, we knew he would go on and win the Olympic gold medal at the 201-pound level. Of course, that was the heavyweight division then. Of course, anything above heavyweight was 201 plus pounds. Then, of course, that was super heavyweight. But the bottom line is 201 pounds is what Mike Tyson was fighting at back in 1984 when he took on, of course, Henry Tillman and lost not once but twice. So anyway, 201 pounds, they were rocking and rolling. They thought that Tommy the Duke Morrison, of course, the next great white hope. Why was he the great white hope? Because he was American. Of course, he went 202, I think, in 20 as an amateur. At one point in time, he ran off like 95 wins, according to his bio. 95 straight, holy cow, 95 straight wins. Even if you're fighting Daniel in the other room, you run up 95 wins, okay? That's 95 solid wins, no doubt about that. So anyway, we're in June of, as I said, July of 1980. I'm watching this guy, Tommy Morrison. They're calling him, I heard a couple people calling him the Duke from the crowd. Anyway, bottom line is Mercer wins. Mercer goes on to win the Olympic gold medal. Tommy Morrison begins a career as a professional out of Oklahoma. And of course, he does real well. I mean, he's undefeated. He's knocking people out left and right. I mean, Tommy the Duke Morrison was the guy, okay? He just was. I mean, he was going to be maybe the first billion-dollar athlete. I mean, they talked about Jerry Cooney making $1 billion, but I thought that maybe Tommy the Duke Morrison, based on the fact that he had this John Wayne persona, of course, the big movie star type of thing, that was his uncle or his distant uncle, something like that. But the bottom line is he had it all going for him. Complexion, connection, you name it, Tommy Morrison had it going on. Anyway, runs up a good record. He's undefeated. Of course, he runs into a couple of guys that he shouldn't have fought. Michael Bent was one of the guys that he fought. Michael Bent, get this, when he fought Michael Bent was in the crowd. I mean, he sort of had needed a last-minute opponent. Michael Bent basically got out of the crowd, went and fought Tommy the Duke Morrison, and knocked him out. Of course, and then he would go on to fight Herbie Hyde in his next fight. And then, of course, he had neurological issues that I reported the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and they sort of ignored me on that one. I'm telling you, but Herbie Hyde and Michael Bent, That fight took place after the Tommy Morrison fight. Of course, Tommy Morrison was beaten by Michael Bent. Well, Michael Bent was knocked out in a gym in Las Vegas, went into convulsions, and Dr. Robert Voya reportedly treated him and never mentioned the convulsions. He was out cold. I mean, like for a long time. Shaking, body shaking. Anyway, bottom line is they treated him out of office type of thing, which isn't cool. They didn't report it, things like that. So he went on to fight Herbie Hyde. Of course, then he retired. Brain damage, I thought Michael Bent sort of copped to that. But the bottom line is Tommy the Duke Morrison would go on to fight Lennox Lewis for the heavyweight title. Of course, he would lose a TKO in 7. No shame there. Lennox Lewis, a 1984 Olympic gold medalist, 1988 Olympic gold medalist. Not the guy you can sneeze at. Of course, he beat Riddick Bowe, spanked Riddick Bowe not once but twice. But the bottom line is he was a world heavyweight champion, so there's no shame in losing to him, okay? But when he fought, when he started fighting guys like Razor Ruddock towards the end, I was there for that fight. I think it was June of 1995. We're in Kansas City, of course. I ended up saying the S-H-I-T word on the air when Tommy the Duke Morrison knocked down Razor Ruddock, I think in that 6th round. When he knocked him down, that was my first response. S-H-I-T! I kid you not, that's why I said live on TV. People say, oh, some lady in Australia, I'll never forget this one. Some lady in Australia sent me an email, like when email was early. She sent me an email, she goes, I heard what you said on television. I really? Anyway, bottom line is, Tommy the Duke Morrison did win that fight with Razor Ruddock, but I thought that the referee, Ron Lipton, sort of pulled some, that was some home cooking there. I mean, Ron's a good guy, but Ron pulled the trigger early. I mean, come on, if Ron was refereeing Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, he wouldn't have gave Tyson Fury any shot whatsoever. He would have called that fight off when Tyson Fury went out and looked like The Undertaker in some WWE event. But the bottom line is, you know, at the end of the day, Tommy the Duke Morrison, he was a solid, solid guy. The glass, great white hope. He was going to be the guy. And then he got AIDS. And he denied it. And that was a bit of a problem. According to his mother interview, he was diagnosed with AIDS, in 1995. That's when the Nevada State Athletic Commission snitched him off. Anyway, but the bottom line was, before that, his mother, I saw an interview with her about 4 or 5 years ago, where she sort of said that she implied that he knew as early as 1990 that he was HIV positive. The last time I saw Tommy the Duke Morrison, he was laying on a bed in Kansas City. It was that date, June 10th, 1995. He was his blood all over the place. Blood all over the towels, and this, the doctor stitching them up. And I'm saying to myself, now the guy had HIV. Holy cow. I mean, none of us knew, okay? But he knew. Evidently, he knew, and his mom knew, of course. And now the tragedy of Tommy the Duke Morrison was the fact that he decided he wasn't going to take any AIDS-related drugs. He wouldn't take anything that was prescribed by an AIDS doctor or anything like that. I can't remember what the exact drugs were, but the bottom line is he wasn't taking nothing. He was taking herbs and smoking weed. Listen, I smoke weed, but if you get AIDS, you don't want to be smoking weed. You want to take your AIDS treatment, okay? You definitely want to do that. Anyway, Tommy the Duke Morrison got hooked up with this woman, and evidently he eventually married her. And to say her and him are a... I'm trying to be careful here because I don't want to get sued, okay, because she's a nut, okay, I think her name is Trish. Anyway, bottom line is, in my opinion, I think she's not mentally straight. I'm just putting it like that. So anyway, she and Tommy decide they're not going to take any medicine. They're going to live their lives out. Tommy died, of course, a few years ago. But the bottom line is, when he died, he was like 110 pounds, 108 pounds, something like that. So he like... You know, he was a wreck of his former self. At one point in time, this guy was like 235 pounds and rock solid, okay? But to die at 110 pounds because you don't want to take AIDS drugs, I don't know what to say about that. But now, the bottom line is, a couple of weeks ago, somebody sent me a note, an email, saying if I wanted to buy a necklace of Tommy the Duke Morrison's bones, his ashes, I could do so. I kid you not. Evidently, it was supposedly his wife did this, or somebody related to his wife, or it's pretty crazy. But imagine that they're selling, you know, listen, they aren't ashes. When they burn you up and cremate you, those aren't ashes. Those are crushed bones. That's what they are. It's crushed bone. Okay, so evidently they're selling necklaces of his crushed bone around the internet. That's what I was told. In fact, promoter Tony Holden sent me an email on that a couple of weeks ago. That is pretty scary, without a doubt. But at the end of the day, great fighter, without a doubt. What was his record event? He's like 48-3-1. Of course, big knockout puncher. And, of course, sort of got the fight with George Foreman. I thought that he beat the, sort of. He got a couple decisions at the end he probably didn't deserve. But at the end of the day, he was our last great white hope because the Vladimir Klitschko and his brother Vitaly Klitschko, they were Russian. They weren't considered great white hopes. You have to be an American to be considered a great white hope, I believe. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. On tomorrow's show, the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, I bring you the hardest puncher in the history of boxing. That's right. Not me. No, no. Not Daniel. No, no. Not Daniela down there at VTV. I'm talking about Ernie Shavers. Ernie talks about how he became such a puncher, chopping wood and things like that. I think you'll find the interview very interesting. Of course, we cut this about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but that will be on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Speaking of the Sunday show, I might as well pump it up right now. The Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant, will be here. Tommy D will be here. We'll spend some time with Brent Carter. Of course, he is a epic singer, of course, the man that now fronts for the average white band, former Tower of Power lead singer. He's coming to town, so we'll talk with him about boxing. And the reason why I'm getting Brent on here, besides the fact he's got a gig going September 10th, I believe, September 9th or 10th, in Vallejo, California, we ran the spot. But he also talks about, I want to put him on the spot because of the fact that, when I did boxing matches as a promoter, I didn't get a whole lot of black people buying tickets, like 8 to 10%. But then again, only 8 to 10% of boxers are supposedly black, according to Wikipedia. Anyway, but the bottom line is, Brent Carter is going to go into depth on why black people in general don't go into boxing anymore. They get into basketball and not even the baseball, not baseball at all, basketball and the NFL. That's it. They're not interested in any other sports outside of horseshoes. I kid you not. Anyway, straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I got a text here. No, I'm not hard on Tommy the Duke Morrison. I mean, Tommy was a hell of a guy, without a doubt. We spent some time around each other. Of course, when he did a gig, I think, in Reno, Nevada, or he was in Reno for some press event, this and that. And he was like, the first thing he wanted to do when we left was, like, hit on chicks. He was a big chick guy. I don't know if he got the HIV or the AIDS, and that's the question that came in. How did Tommy the Duke Morrison get AIDS or HIV? I don't know whether he got it from the anabolic steroids, shooting needles in your arm or sex or something like that. But the bottom line is he got it, and eventually he died from it. He doesn't have to be dead. I mean, there are people that I grew up with, I kid you not, that got HIV in the 80s and the 70s and this and that, and some of them are still alive. Why? Because they think that the AHT drug or whatever it was, but they took that drug and they've been taking it since. And there are other drugs that come along. Tommy the Duke Morrison and his crazy wife, they wouldn't take anything. They absolutely wouldn't take anything. They were taking herbs and smoking weed. You don't cure AIDS smoking weed. You get chilled smoking weed, but you don't cure AIDS smoking weed. Straight up, another one coming in here, George Foreman. And listen, George Foreman is a class act. He is. Somebody say to me, you knew both George Foremans. Tell me about the first George Foreman. The first George Foreman I knew in the 60s and the 70s here in Newman's Gym in San Francisco. He won the 1968 Golden Gloves, of which I would win a few years later. He won the Golden Gloves, and he went, of course, to win the Olympic gold medal down there in Mexico City, waving the American flag, being the all-American guy, this and that. But he wasn't. He was a creep. He was a mean guy. I mean, he used to beat guys up in the gym Daniel size or my size. I mean, guys like 165, 170 pounds, and George Foreman is kicking their ass. I mean, kicking their ass. I mean, here he is, 6'4", 230 pounds, and he's kicking their ass. I mean, I'm telling you, he was punishing people in the gym. He used to bring a dog with him to the gym, too. That wasn't cool. He had a German Shepherd sitting in the stands. Why would he bring a German Shepherd with him? Because George wanted to intimidate everybody. When he went to Africa for the Zaire fight in 1974, of course, President Mobutu would not let him leave after a cut was served. A cut sort of delayed that fight between Ali and Foreman. Foreman tried to get on a plane to get out, and Mobutu surrounded his plane with machine guns. He ain't going nowhere. But anyway, George Foreman brought attack dogs, German Shepherds, to Africa. The only ones in Africa with German Shepherds were the slave owners. That's how smart George Foreman was. But then again, he said he saw God with the Ron Lyle fight, the Jimmy Young fight. Then came the metamorphosis. And I do believe it was a true metamorphosis. I really do. Metamorphosis means when you change, like, from a caterpillar to a butterfly. I mean, it was that big of a change. And why do I say that? Because he went from a creep. He was a creep. He was trying to be badder than Sonny Liston. He always wanted to be meaner, gruffer. He wanted to take, he wanted to be gruffer than Sonny Liston. He couldn't be. Sonny was a monster. Sonny looked ugly. Sonny looked bad. So George needed to work on being a monster and this and that. And he would snarl at people and this and that. Of course, taking dogs with him and this and that. Of course, then he had the metamorphosis, the the come to Jesus moment, whatever you want to call it. Was it the Lyle fight or the Jimmy Young fight? One of those fights. But the bottom line is he decided he was going to just dedicate his life to God. So when guys tell me they're going to dedicate their lives to God, I sort of roll my eyes at him, okay? Because 9 out of 10 times, these are just dope fiends looking for something I got an excuse, I'm going to God. Anyway, George Foreman was the real deal. I mean, the preacher, he's legit. He's really legit. I mean, how do you go from like one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum? George Foreman did it. He did it. I mean, I really mean that. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I think that George truly, he believes in God. He believes in what he's doing now. He believes in being a preacher. Of course, he's been a preacher for a long time. Plus, he's also a capitalist. I mean, he's got to be the richest. You know, most guys make money in the world of religion getting donations, right? George sold a grill. He sold that grill. Larry Merchant said he sold that grill for $135 million. I thought it was $25 million, but $135 million? You got to be kidding me for a grill? But that's George Foreman. Maybe give him some props. Hey, Daniel, let's roll to a break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Don't forget the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on these same channels, including WBC TV.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Once again, the mighty Tower of Power. Check them out at towerofpower.com. Guess what, folks? We got a new guy calling the shots on Sunday. His name is Tommy D. What's up, Tommy?
What's good, Pedro? We're now 1 week away from the big unified world heavyweight title fight between the Ukraine's own Alexander Usyk against the UK's own Daniel Dubois. I'm going to be going into their numbers, the betting odds, and how much money they're both making. And I'm going to be speaking about how this fight ended up in Poland. I'll also have a Canelo and Charlo update. And I know you're real high on the Zil Zhang Joe Joyce rematch. I'm pretty pumped for Ring Talk and WBC TV, the Sunday edition.
My man, of course, he is a new kid on the block calling the shots, no doubt about that. Tommy D, of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. A bit of a quiet week in the world of boxing. Looks like the WBC has given up on Deontay Wilder and, of course, Andy Ruiz. Why would they want to have that fighting where they were sanctioning him? But now it looks like Wilder is going to hook it up with Anthony Joshua. Of course, that'll take place in Arabia. We talked about that a little bit earlier. I'm not big on Arabia, but then again, the fighters are getting paid. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's got to happen. Fighters have got to get paid. This is professional boxing without a doubt, okay? And fighters have to get paid. These guys are making more money than they probably deserve. But then again, it's Arab money and it's dirty money. I've always had a problem with dirty money. I just do. I mean, I didn't take dirty money. I didn't buy stolen stuff. I didn't sell stolen stuff. I've sort of stayed away from that. And I think that this is sort of like dirty money. It's just the Arabs have dirty money. Anyway, this is my opinion. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, of course, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The Saturday producer is my great guy, of course, Daniel Ogden. We thank him so much for coming in every Saturday and kicking ass like he does. Of course, pound for pound, we've got the young lady down there and for Vive TV in Dallas, Texas, talking about Daniela Jackman and her husband, Double J, John Jackman. Of course, they run the Vive TV and the WBC end of this. This is a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and of course, come back for the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern on these same channels. 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Don't forget, until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect.